Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Hormerez and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up in various areas around town for coffee, tea, and conversation of eternal importance. Join us, won't you, for Bible Talk.
Well, we'd like to welcome you all here to our gathering as we gather with Pastor Joe. It's so nice to be out and about. You probably hear music in the background, some dishes being clinged back and forth. We're not in the studio. We're out around town.
Yes, we are. And we want to welcome everybody. We're so glad to have you sitting around the table with us at this diner as we have a little coffee, tea, take a moment from our busy day to have a little conversation about the Bible.
Now, Bobby, you said diner. We're in California. Pastor Joe, you're familiar with diners, being from the East Coast.
Yes, I am. I remember the coffee cups being very similar to the one I'm drinking from right now in New Jersey. I'm from New York City, and the family moved to New Jersey. There were a lot of diners run by Greeks. We used to call it the Greek diner. They would have buckets of pickles. Of course, they'd be kosher pickles, being on the East Coast of New Jersey, New York City, with a large Jewish population that loved their deli food. The diners had a very unique and personality to them. They had jukeboxes on the tables as well. And so that's my memory of the diners of New Jersey.
So hence the music in the background.
Hence the music in the background. We feel very comfortable. I feel like I'm in New Jersey right now, talking to two of my best friends.
This is all wonderful, and we do want everyone to get to know us and you, not just as a person or as a pastor, but also as a friend and someone that is just like the rest of us, just going to the Lord to learn from the Bible. So a lot of people are seeking truth. You know, that's what we hear all the time from friends, strangers, is people are looking everywhere. They're trying to find success, find happiness. And they look to self-help books. They look to friends, hopefully wise friends, or writers. But as Christians, we look to the Bible for God's guidance. Now, a lot of times they'll say, why the Bible? Why am I always hearing about the Bible?
Well, this is a great setting to talk about the Bible, because when Christians share the gospel, the message of good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, it's in everyday life, whether it be a diner, a restaurant, a gymnasium, or on a submarine in the Navy. Opportunities to share the gospel come to us from every different possible conceivable place and location, at work, at home, and they're asking questions that they naturally think about without being prompted by people, like what's the meaning of life, why are we here in this world. These are questions that are important, because everybody asks them, and many people want to know the answer. People, like you suggest, are looking for meaning to life. They're looking for success, for happiness, fulfillment in every conceivable way, emotionally, mentally, relationally, financially. But the most important area of need is spiritual, to find the meaning of life, to know that when we die, we're going to go to heaven. And so success and happiness ultimately is not found in this world. And they need to find the truth. I think people instinctively know that there's not many different truths, although some of us learn in college, as professors say, there's many roads that lead to God. But that's not true according to the Bible. I think a lot of people know instinctively that there's only one truth.
You know, one time I heard somebody talking about that very question, and they said people do have a problem with that. They want there to be many answers to it. They say you look mathematically, 2 + 2 always equals 4. It doesn't sometimes equal 5 or 7. There's one truth. And so thinking about that, about other sciences and so on, there's usually one truth. So that should not be so hard to understand about spiritual things as well, would you say?
Yes, that's true. Facts, experience, science lead us to remedies and solutions to many different things. And in many fields and sciences, there's only one remedy. Through experimentation, we find that particular remedy. In medicine, it would be prescription to heal you. Similarly, in the spiritual realm, there is only one truth according to the Bible. The Bible teaches that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. But the Bible itself is the guidebook. It's the source of truth where we can get all of our questions answered, questions that come instinctively to us as we grow up about the meaning of life, or questions that we're prompted to think through school or other circumstances. So it's the Bible that we find our answers to these questions.
And as we look at the Bible, people are asking the question, how do we know that the Bible is true, that this is something that we should follow in our life?
That's a very good question, Rich, because I've had many people over 35 years as a pastor ask me that question. And as a Christian in everyday life, people would say, well, how do I know the Bible is true? Because there are many competing sources of truth that say, we have the truth over here and all the other sources are wrong. Our scriptures are true. The other scriptures are wrong of other religions. And so that's a very fair and accurate question. I think there is evidence from outside of the Bible and from inside of the Bible itself that clearly and unequivocally teach us and demonstrate that the Bible is the Word of God. I think one reason is that the Bible is historically accurate. Every historical reference in the Bible to time and place and nations and armies, references to nations and locations of nations and in periods of history have always been proven to be historically right. There have been scientists, there have been college professors that have checked out the historical exclamations and the historical references in the Bible. And those references have always been backed up by history and archaeology and the facts. And so the Bible is historically accurate, and compared to other ancient sources of religious documentation, like religious books, religious scriptures, there's no comparison. The Bible has absolutely no faults to it, and other books have inaccuracies and errors in them. The Bible was written over a period of 1,500 years by 44 different authors. The Bible is one self-contained book, but within that book are 66 individual books. The Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament was written before Jesus was born, and the New Testament was written beginning about 40 AD through about 110 AD. And so the Bible clearly shows us that even though it was written over a period of 1,500 years, that all 44 authors, some of them wrote more than one book. That's why you have less authors than the total amount of books, like 66 books. But the theology and the teaching and the doctrine contained in all of the books are harmoniously in full agreement. There's no contradiction between what Moses wrote in the first five books of the Bible, called the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, with John, the Apostle John, who wrote the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. These two men were separated by 1,500 years, but the teaching that they wrote agrees 100%, and with all the other 42 authors in the Bible. So the same God revealed the doctrine and the teaching to all 44 authors, even though most of them never knew each other and were separated by hundreds of years.
Let's go way, way back. You said the written word was with us for some 1,500 years. But what about those before the Bible was written, before Moses' time, like Enoch and others? How did they receive God's word, and how did God make his presence known to them?
Very good question. I think a lot of people think about that. What about before the Bible? How did people come to know about the true God who created the heavens and the earth, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Actually, the first book that was probably written in the Bible was the book of Job, and then Moses wrote the first five books. So the first book was written about 4,000 years ago, give or take 100 or 200 years. And so for the first 2,000 years of Earth's history, before God even called Abraham and called Moses, God revealed truth directly to Adam and Eve through direct revelation. That is, God spoke to them directly, audibly, or he, through a dream or a vision, gave them information, or he just revealed it to their minds, or through some form of knowledge communicated to them by God directly. And he taught them how to worship God properly in spirit and in truth. He taught them certain moral laws that they were to follow and obey. And he taught them that God requires a blood sacrifice. And so Adam and Eve started sacrificing animals on an altar they constructed according to God's blueprint. And they worshiped God through the offering up of a blood sacrifice. And they worshiped him by faith as well. And so they passed on to their posterity, to their children, these oral traditions and these commandments and ordinances that God had taught them directly. And so when Seth and Cain and Abel were born, first it was Cain, then Abel, they continued worshiping the way that Adam and Eve were taught by God. And so they passed on these laws of how to worship God and how to serve God to their children, and this, the godly seed, the spiritual seed, those who were true children of God, those who became believers in God, believers in Christ, they continued to follow the commandments which were passed on to them, not only by godly parents who were saved, but also other believers in God that they had become friends with right up until the time that Abraham was called by God to begin the Jewish nation.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Now, perhaps you have a question you would like to ask. You can do just that by simply emailing us at firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also send in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply go to the Contact Us section on our webpage and ask your question there. And be sure when you contact us to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this contact information at the end of our program. For now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
Now, one thing is that today people are still wondering, maybe they don't have access to the Bible because they live in a country where it's not made available to them, or maybe it's even against the law or quite dangerous even to read the Bible. And so would you say that God communicates with them the same way? He doesn't obviously just leave them because they're his creation as well. So how would he communicate or reach them?
Well, the Bible teaches us that everyone who has ever lived, including all of us today, all of you listening to this program, have an opportunity to come to know the God of the Bible, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be saved and to be forgiven of all of your sins, to have your guilt removed. God gives the world three witnesses that testify of him, that if you follow those witnesses and listen to the witnesses and you follow the truth where it leads you to the true God, that he will reveal the message that will lead to your salvation if you believe in it. Those three witnesses, according to Romans chapters 1 and 2, are the creation, number one. God has revealed himself through the creation to man. People go outside and they look up and they may have never heard about the Bible before. They don't even know the Ten Commandments. Let's say uncivilized tribes in Africa or other places where there's never been a missionary or a Bible. But they look up and they see this uniform design in creation. And the old astronomers looked up and they, through the reason and intelligence that they can tell that there had to be a designer behind this grand design that's up there. And if they would just follow and pray to the God, the designer of the universe, that God would reveal themselves to him. The second witness is the witness of conscience. It says God wrote his law upon our heart. And when we break the Ten Commandments, our conscience automatically gives us guilt, makes us feel bad. Well, some people have never read the Bible. They don't know about the Ten Commandments. They can hardly recite one or two of the Ten Commandments. But God has written those commandments on their hearts so that when they break those commandments, they feel guilty. And when that guilt occurs, they receive a witness that there is a true God behind that moral law, that moral code, those commandments that are being testified in their hearts and minds. And if they would pray to the God of those commandments, he would reveal himself to them. And then the third witness is the witness of the Word of God. And that is the teaching and preaching and sharing of the message of the Bible. That if you keep reading the Bible and you pray to the God of the Bible, he will reveal himself to you, just like he did to me. I was born and raised as a Jew in New York City, just a kid from Brooklyn, you know, drinking soda and coffee in diners in New Jersey and Brooklyn. But when I was in the Marine Corps in 1976, I didn't know anything about Jesus. I just began praying to the God of the Bible, and he revealed himself to me in the person of Jesus Christ, not some kind of vision or apparition or miraculous appearance, not an audible voice, but I began to learn about the Bible and hear the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. So we have these three witnesses. We have the creation, we have conscience, we have the Word of God, and everyone who has ever lived has been witnessed to and given testimony of the true God through one or more of these three means. And if they will pray to the God of these witnesses, then God will reveal himself to the individual. And one of the things that God will communicate through the Bible, through the teaching of the Scriptures, is that Jesus Christ is God. He is very God of very God. He is one of the three members of what we call the Godhead in the Bible, or the Trinity. Many people know that term by Trinity and not Godhead. And we only worship, as Christians, we only worship one God, Rich. But God has revealed himself and manifested himself in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we have one God revealing himself in three persons. The second person, Jesus, is called the Word of God, but he is the living Word compared to the written Word. Now, the written Word of God, as contained in the Bible, was given to us through Jesus Christ, but Jesus is the representative of the Trinity. He represents God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as the prophet, as the teacher, and the spokesman of God to deliver the message of God, how we can be saved through the Bible and through people teaching and sharing the Bible with other people. But Jesus himself is the Word of God. He's God's prophet. He's God's spokesman. He teaches us in these last days the will of God.
And that's one thing that if God is who he says he is, of course he can speak for himself, right? He's all powerful. And so he can reveal himself to us. That's one thing that maybe people don't understand who haven't been through being drawn by God yet, is that they think it's some kind of pie-in-the-sky belief, hope, or something, and not that you've had that conviction yet in your heart where God has revealed himself. Like you say, it's not an apparition or anything, but it's being filled with a knowing that you can't really explain, and it's like God, the Holy Spirit, giving you that conviction. So I know, Rich, you've had experience with sharing also about just letting God reveal himself through his word, not in a hope in these words, but a real true conviction.
When I first was being drawn to the Lord, my wife, she really thought that I was really a bother. In fact, we were
crazy, is another word?
we were equally yoked as unbelievers when we were married. And so the Lord started to draw me, and I thought I could be a good salesperson for the Lord. And so she was my first target. And so I really tried everything, you know, recite this, do that, and, you know, just kept turning her off. But one day, it was my birthday, and she said, "What can I get you as a gift for your birthday?" And I said, "Just one thing. Promise me that you'll read the Bible. Start with 15 minutes a day. That's it. That's all I want. 15 minutes. Will you do that?" She says, yeah, that's easy. But what else do you want?" I said, "That's it. That's all I want. 15 minutes a day." And lo and behold, the Lord took that. You know, his word will not return void, but accomplish his purposes. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. And the Lord just changed her heart. And it changed me, too, to realize that it's his word, yes, not my words.
It changes, right, in that moment from just being words on the page to being a revelation.
Yes. Well, the Bible is unlike any other book. If you read a newspaper or a novel, your life won't be changed to desire, love, and crave a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. But if you read the Bible, the scriptures teach us that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When you read the Bible, it cuts straight through all of the excuses and the blindness and goes to your heart and convicts you and testifies to your heart and bears witness that it is the truth. And that's what happened in your life. And so for the person who would say, "How do I know the Bible is true?" The Bible is true because it testified that Jesus rose from the dead, and he did rise from the dead, and that the Bible is without error. There's no mistakes or errors in it. It's internally harmonious and in full agreement within itself, internally uniform and consistent in terms of its teaching. The Bible has not only the literary consistency, but in terms of prophecies, every prophecy in the Bible has come true, except the ones that are yet to be fulfilled in the future. And there is no other place in the world, no other source book for religion that professes to have prophecies about the future and predict the future that is like the Bible. No one has come close. The Bible has 100% track record of fulfillment in terms of its prophecy. The last thing, so many people who have tried to find fault with the Bible and try to show it up or to prove that it's false or it's inconsistent. And the wisest, smartest people in the world who have ever lived have attempted to do that over the last 2,000 years, and have many of them ending up embracing the Bible, believing in it. One famous person who was a professor at Oxford, an atheist, who attempted to prove the Bible wrong and Jesus Christ as a false teacher, was C.S. Lewis, who ended up, after a 5-year study to prove the Bible wrong and to prove that God doesn't exist, he became a Christian because the evidence was overwhelming to the contrary.
That reminds me of someone we met once. Do you remember the Muslim gentleman who had become a Christian? And he told us about how he was given the assignment to go to churches that were allowed there. I think they had to be authorized churches. And that he was to prove them wrong, just like you're saying, Pastor Joe, that what are these people doing? What kind of rituals are they doing in it to expose them? And so this was his assignment, to go to the church and to find evidence of this. So he started going to the church. And, of course, what happened is he got exposed to the Word of God. And then God opened his eyes, and he got that conviction in his heart from the Lord and realized that it's all true.
Sure.
You know, Jesus is true.
It's kind of like Saul, Paul, when the Lord met him. He said, "Why do you persecute me?" And his eyes were closed until Ananias came, and the scales fell off his eyes, and he saw, "My Lord, my Lord." You know, his eyes were opened.
Well, just look at the changed lives that have been produced, millions and millions, because they heard the message of the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, the message of the Bible. And it was the Bible, the teachings of the Holy Scriptures, that produced conviction, leading to repentance of sin, leading to people sorrowing over their sins and turning to Jesus Christ for salvation. And it's the very precise description of how a person has their sins forgiven in the message of the gospel, the message of salvation through Christ, as people pursue Christ and study the message and learn more about how they can have their sins forgiven, it's only that message that changes them miraculously, supernaturally, from the inside out, bringing them to a place where they're willing to lay down their lives, willing to give up everything they have, willing to be a nobody, a nothing, and follow the Lord the rest of their lives. That proves that the Bible has the power in the blessing of God with the anointing of God's Spirit to change lives and keep them changed and saved right through until they die and enter glory.
Amen. I was thinking as you were talking about how all of the prophecies of the Bible have come true, that if we had a skeptic here, or maybe a seeker who was looking for truth, they might say, like what? Like, can you give us an example?
Well, I would say the same thing that happened in my own life, just like you, Rich, in sharing with your own wife, just read the Bible for 15 minutes a day. The Bible has absolutely no problem with a person putting it to the test. But if it's somebody who's just playing games and is really not interested, just curious and wants to use the Bible like a crystal ball or something, then they won't find what they're looking for. But any sincere seeker, any true searcher for truth, if you just have an open mind and you start reading the Bible looking for answers, you will always find what you're looking for. You may not understand everything you read at first, but keep persevering, reading, meditating on it, and praying like I did. Lord, open my heart. If this is the truth, show it to me, confirm it to me. Give me full proof, direction, and evidence in my life that this is the truth. But you must have faith as well. You must believe what God says as you read the Bible. Trust in Him to fulfill it in your life, and He will. And He changed my life by it. I was praying day and night for a week, show me the truth, show me the truth, O God. And He led me to the Scriptures, and I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart to save my soul from hell, and He fulfilled His promise. He gave me a new heart. He poured out His Spirit upon me. He gave me a hatred for sin. He gave me the power to walk away from my sins and to live for Christ, which I never desired, which I never had before that.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the Scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ. If you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, you can contact us by email, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also write to us at First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. That's P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. 94568 is the zip code. Or simply go to our Contact Us section on our webpage to ask your question. And be sure, whenever you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. And please remember that First Love Radio is supported solely by God's faithfulness as He inclines the hearts of friends like you to offer your support. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We would encourage you to come back and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.